Hustle magazine, Roy Rosa, Froa Kier, Woman and Home, as well as Your Family. So to talk about what is happening in print media as right now is Lerato Tshabalala, who is the executive creative director at Black Powder Agency. She is a writer and editor with over 15 years experience in print media, and we thought, what better person to have this conversation with than Miss TJ herself. Greetings, Lerato.
Hey, Mpo, how are you?
I'm good, cannot complain. Lerato, let's talk about print media. What is going on in the country?
First of all, let me say, just hearing you read out those magazines, just hearing you read them just is so jarring to me, because I obviously think about the people not only who work there, but the industry around magazines. As you know, Mpo, both you and I know, from makeup artists to photographers to food stylists and stylists, it's not just the magazine itself that is closing. It's all the people around it who depend on it as an income, who are losing their financial stability. So it's just an incredibly sad, scary place. And I think that it's important for Power listeners to actually think of the people and not just the magazines themselves. But what is happening is that we didn't pivot as magazine people. I mean, I still largely, even though I'm in advertising now, I see myself as a magazine girl. I always have, always will be, did it for 20 years. And I can tell you that in when I was working for Sunday Times Lifestyle in 2007, that's when we were told that things are coming to an end for us in 2007.
Yeah.
And instead of a lot of magazine publishers saying, you know what, how can we join into this thing, this digital thing? How can we put ourselves in there? A lot of publishers said, oh, we don't need to. We're fine. Our readers will never. I mean, Gutenberg, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then now, obviously, we find ourselves where the inevitable has happened. And I just think there was not enough pivoting. There was a lot of arrogance. It makes me think of what happened with Kodak and Paul. Kodak was huge. And when digital cameras came, they said, never, never.
Yes.
And they're obsolete as well. It's the same thing.
Has social media, in the way that we look at it, because a lot of people, myself included, feel as though social media has played a role in the death of print. How true is that?
I think there is a level of truth in that. In that, before, to the editor, people needed to show their recipes and have it selected by people like me. And what has happened now is that people have become content creators from home. So you don't necessarily need to have studied food technology to be a food stylist. You don't need to have studied writing or photography. You know, if you have talent, it's a good and a bad thing. But I also think what it did mainly was show that there are a lot more talented people. There are a lot more people with different types of points of views. And what I think magazines needed to do was find a way to work with those content creators. And that exchange of information didn't happen.
Yeah.
And we find ourselves in this sad, sad place.
The ad industry. Can we put the blame on a larger level at their doorstep and say, if you had continued to support print media, perhaps they wouldn't be in this situation, or have the ad space learned to pivot and move with the digital space far better than print media?
Yeah, that is such a good question. I'm going to try and not to get my advertising colleagues mad at me. What I will say is that, unfortunately, advertising now finds itself where magazines found themselves in the early 2000s, which is that now with COVID, clients are canceling campaigns. You know, they're saying, well, I'm not going to talk about traveling overseas and people can't travel, so I'm pulling my advertising campaign from you guys.
Yeah.
And as you know, people plan for the year. So there is now this jarring thing where we thought we were protected as an industry, but this thing keeps moving. Because I think what's trying to happen, Paul, is that the world is trying to get us to change. People are changing. People's lifestyles are changing. And so the mediums that they consume also need to change. So I think, unfortunately, advertising is about numbers. How much is the campaign going to cost? How many followers do you have? How many people are on your channel?
Yeah.
And with digital, you can change things really quickly. You can be agile. Whereas with magazines, you'd have to wait for 3 months until the ABCs come out, and that's when you can course correct. By then, you've lost thousands of people who wanted you to change it the next month, but you couldn't, because you wanted to see your numbers.
Yeah.
So there was a level of agility and a level of research and data and analytics that was not included in magazines that exist in digital. Where, and I think the two, I feel like the two at some point will come together.
Mm.
And I want to say something controversial, because I need to say it, because this is me, and you and I are a lot alike. Part of the issue why magazines are closing down so badly in South Africa and in such an alarming rate, if you go on your newsstand and you look at your magazine stand, you would think that you are standing in Europe. There is nothing that would tell you that you're looking at magazines made in an African continent where 80% of the people are black and brown.
Mm.
So so let's just start there. We don't know how to speak to the middle and the upper middle black class. We have people who are not of color who are speaking to these people. And then we're deciding, actually, all you want is Togolashi stories and all the nice BMWs and other things will go to white publications. So this is as a consequence of an industry that didn't understand that the country was changing and needed to change with its people.
Mm.
So I think there will be a renewal, but until magazine publishers understand having a black GM is important, having a colored editor is equally as important, until we get there, people are not going to buy magazines. I'd rather go on Instagram and spend an hour looking at photographs than spend money that could be transport money on a magazine that's not going to give me anything.
Can I throw it back to you as the former editor of True Love Magazine?
Yeah.
The one thing that's always very evident when you look at the magazine space in the country is that when it comes to the black people who do find their way onto the covers, it's generally almost the same five faces. And I'm not going to mention them. But it's almost like every month, 1 month they are on True Love, and the next month you're on Bona, the next month you're on this, and the next month you're on that. So we're rotating the same five faces as though the industry is made up of just those five spaces. Was there a reason why those five spaces, those five popular people have made it onto the covers as opposed to the print space saying, we're going to open up the industry, so to speak?
I love you, Paul. We're so similar. You so like get straight to the point. I think that it's nice for those five people, obviously, to get exposure. One of the things I try to do at True Love is have a variety of different women on the cover. Nomza Mombatha, one of her first few covers was with us. Masasa Mbangeni, her first cover was with us. Zizo. Cover was also her first one was with us. So I made a huge effort to find people that were not part of the five. In fact, I would say that maybe two people who were popular at the time made it onto the cover. Mm-hmm. I tried to find people who were different and style them differently and go on locations and treat their stories as they would be treated in an international magazine. But you know me, Paul, I'm stubborn. A lot of people, unfortunately, magazines were just there to pick up the check and not make anybody upset. A lot of publishers and general managers would tell you that black covers don't sell, black people don't sell, and that if they sell, it's the same covers. And so part of the reason why I ended up leaving was because I got tired of hearing that black people don't spend money, that black people don't buy, when Casper Nieuwsblad could sell out an entire
the dome.
So I'm of the belief that a lot of people have just gotten tired of fighting. People just want to pick up their check and go. So if you tell me that black cover doesn't sell, if you want the same person, I'll give you what you want. But I'm a fighter, so you know, it's a good and a bad thing.
Is digital going to be the saving grace?
So that's such a deep question. I think it will be. I think that as I work with really, really young people at the moment, and I think young people are incredibly excited in terms of helping teach somebody like me how to use my journalistic skills properly to speak to them. However, there is a space for us to know how to report about things, to report about sexual abuse, to report about different cases and all kinds of things, even if it's in a lifestyle sort of setting, but use the rules of journalism to protect people when we're talking about them, to know when it's not crucial to be mentioning somebody's name because you put them in jeopardy. So
sure.
I think there's a space where the two are going to converge. What needs to happen now is that South African audiences need to decide what kind of magazines they want. They need to decide and tell publishers what they want to look at.
Yes.
And let's see how the two can come together. I don't think we need magazines every month. I think we could do bi-monthly, we can do quarterly, and then use your digital platforms the rest of the time. So it's just time to see things differently. It really is.
Mm. Casey and Swane, you wanted to give your opinion on the topic. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hey, hi, guys. And I think your guest also covered a couple of things. But I think I didn't hear you mention about the Daily Sun, those are actually
big. I did a bit earlier.
Yes, it is also closing.
They're not closing. They have stopped printing newspapers for certain regions, so they've gone digital, and only in Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest will you be able to get a print format.
This is also a function of market segment. Right?
Yeah.
So the reader, Daily Sun, is probably going to remain as early Shapuka paper, right?
Yeah.
But the rest, of, especially with the titles that I heard, Go Cosmopolitan, Go Watua, so like your guest was saying, nothing really changes except the format, i.e. the media.
Yeah.
So you can replicate the exact magazine digitally right now. And she was saying she needs to learn from younger guys. You don't need to, because you do exactly what you're doing now. The content is being delivered online and through social media, and people can still subscribe to all these things if they like the content.
Yes.
So you don't need to have an issue every month or every monthly that she said. You can have things every day because we read and consume things on a daily basis.
True.
Bigger articles can take longer to make, but I still think the photographer is needed.
Yeah.
The makeup person is needed. Whoever else who are still there, it's still very vital to this process, except the guys that are printing the physical paper.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Oh, no.
The market is still there.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Casey and Swane. Lerato, in wrapping, we have run out of time. Thank you so much for giving us of your time. Quickly, your last 30 seconds about print in South Africa.
My last 30 seconds of this is that as soon as a digital platform is closed and you have to pay to look at the content, people drop off.
Mm.
So it's not as simple as go digital. So that's the one thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Two, I think you asked me on the side and you said, was the magazine publishing industry in trouble to begin with?
Yeah.
Yes. So this is like when you were owing money and then there's a natural disaster and now you're even in more trouble.
Mm.
That's exactly what's happening with the magazine industry. It was in trouble already. Now it's just dying because it was on life support. So what needs to happen is we all need to think differently, and obviously keep the freelancers and the thousands of people who are going to be out of jobs in mind, and let's see how we can change things. It will get better, but it will get worse before it gets better.
Thank you so very much for your time, Lerato.
Thank you so much, Mpho.
That is Lerato Shabalala, who's the Executive Creative Director at Black Powder Agency. But the reason we were talking to her is because she has over 15 years of experience in print media.